Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
In the first reading, unlike his brother Aaron, Moses is allowed a glimpse of the promised land. As per the Lord's instructions, Moses ascended Mount Nebo, and behold, the land that flows with milk and honey. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, Negeb, and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over." Then Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He was buried in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired. His vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hand on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face? He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform, and in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all of his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all of Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 90. Let us read it together responsively by half verse. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the land and the earth were born,
from age to age, you are God.
You turn us back to the dust and say,
Go back, O child of earth.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past,
and like a watch in the night.
You sweep us away like a dream.
We fade away suddenly like the grass.
In the morning it is green and flourishes.
In the evening it is dried up and withered.
Return, O Lord, how long will you tarry?
Gracious to your servants.
Satisfy us by your loving kindness in the morning,
so we shall
rejoice and be glad all the days of our life. Make us glad by the measure of the days that you afflicted us,
and the years in which we suffer adversity.
Show your servants your work,
and your splendor to their children.
May the graciousness of the Lord our God be upon us.
Prosper the works of our hands, and prosper our handiwork.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In the second reading, Paul recounts his history with the Thessalonians in order to defend the character and integrity of his apostolic ministry against those who were claiming that he preaches the gospel for personal gain. A reading from the book, the first book of Thessalonians. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives of trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also of our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. O Lord, open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we might love, and our hands that we might serve. And take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen.
Amen.
The story is told about a woman who brought her husband to their pastor and told him, "I feel that my husband doesn't love me as much as he should, so we're thinking of getting a divorce, but we want to know what you think." So the pastor said to the husband, "The Bible says you should love your wife as much as Christ loved his church. Can you do that?" He says, "No, I don't think so." The pastor says, "Well then, begin at a lower level. The Bible also says that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Can you at least love her as much as you would love your neighbor?" The husband said, "No, that's still too difficult." In exasperation, the pastor finally told him, "The Bible says, love your enemies. Start there." In Matthew's gospel this morning, Jesus speaks to us about love. He tells us how we are to love and who we are to love. He tells us that we are to love God with our entire being, and we are to love our neighbors as we would love ourselves. Anyone familiar with the life of Jesus knows that he was not concerned with laws or religious rites. He was the original social activist. He was there for the widow and the orphan. He was there for the underdog, for the poor and the sick. He was there for his neighbor. Neighbor for him wasn't someone from the same social club, with the same color of skin, or the person in the house next door, or the apartment down the hall, or one that spoke the same language. These are folks we would call our neighbors. We would naturally be drawn to them. We would have no problem in relating to them or reaching out to them. But to Jesus, his neighbors were those that lived on the other side of the tracks, the poor, the social outcasts, the public sinners. These were his neighbors. These were the kind of people, his kind of people, people in need, people he could show his love and compassion to. In the gospel this morning, Jesus speaks to us about that love. We are told that we must love God with all our hearts and all our souls, with all our minds. Just how do we do that? Do we love God by praying? Do we love God by kneeling for a long time? Do we love God by appreciating a beautiful sunrise or sunset? Do we love God by giving up candy for Lent? I suspect that the love of God can be found in all these things. But I believe that Jesus was saying is that we love God best by loving ourselves and loving our neighbor. We love God by showing our love to others. How easy those words came out of Jesus' mouth. And as we know, he lived those words every day of his life on earth. But how hard is it for us to love our neighbor? And remember, we're not speaking of the one that lives next door. We're speaking of the one who lives under the freeway overpass and has no home. We're speaking of the unruly teenager that has little respect for anything. We are speaking of parents who abuse their children. We are speaking of people who have lost control of their lives. These are Jesus' neighbors, and they are also ours. Not the easiest people to love, but the ones that need our love the most. The love for these less fortunate is a beautiful thing. The love for those who suffer, for those who are poor, the sick, the failures. This is compassion, and it touches the heart of the world. These are today's broken people and that need our attention and our prayers. I know the Pharisees are often thought of often as the bad guys in the gospel stories. They seem to be Jesus' biggest opponents, those that cause him the most trouble. He frequently accuses them of being hypocrites. In our story this morning, they gather together and appoint a lawyer to speak for them, trying again to trip him up and make him look foolish. But maybe the lawyer isn't such a bad guy after all, for he does provide Jesus with the opportunity to sum up his teachings in what has been called the Great Commandment. Maybe each of us has a lawyer inside of us, a voice that raises questions to us. And maybe that lawyer isn't necessarily such a bad voice after all. Listen to it as asks the questions about our belief and practices. Listen to it as it asks us how we are living our faith. Listen to it as it asks us how we are showing our love to our neighbor. That probing voice may really be a gift from God within us. It speaks to us now, inviting us to get more focused and to hear Jesus' great commandment in our lives. The lawyer tried to trip Jesus up. The lawyer in us can do the same as it probes and causes us to stumble for a moment. But would that be such a terrible thing? Especially if we were heading down the wrong path. Maybe we need to lose our balance and get back in balance with Jesus. As we come to Eucharist this morning, let us pray that we listen to that voice now. Amen.